Hey everybody, welcome to Continue Watching. My name is Antone.
And this is Tyler.
I'm Trey.
And today we are watching Seven Psychopaths. Seven Psychopaths is currently available on Amazon Prime. It is a movie, of course. So if we want to just jump right into it, Trey, what's that description like?
I should be quicker on the uptake is what it is. I didn't even have it pulled up on IMDb this time.
There is no description.
Seven Psychopaths is the story. I'll just do it from memory. Seven Psychopaths is the story of a screenwriter trying to write a movie called Seven Psychopaths and his best friend, Billy, and Billy's co-worker, Hans, as they steal the dog of a local mob boss while trying and then try to write this movie at the same time. A struggling screenwriter inadvertently becomes entangled in the Los Angeles criminal underworld when, after his oddball friends kidnap a Shih Tzu.
True.
I think both were okay. Okay, yeah. Descriptions.
I preferred yours.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. I really felt the heart in it.
And the struggle.
I freaking love this movie. I love this movie
okay.
A lot.
So where do we begin?
Characters, I think, because that's the most important part of this movie is the characters.
Here's my take on the characters. I think they were very well developed. I liked that they all seemed almost real. And it didn't just feel like this was like just, I don't know, forced, if that makes sense. It seemed like we were witnessing like part of their lives, not just a movie.
Oh, yeah, like a day in the life.
Yeah.
Like a slice of life?
A slice of life. A slice of their lives, yes.
Like the final piece of the pie.
The American pie. Yeah, I loved them all. I even liked the two mobsters at the beginning who died. Talking about shooting someone's eyeball out.
It's funny that you bring that up, because that kind of brings up one of the inside parts of this movie. Is it was written to make fun of people who tried to copy Quentin Tarantino's style.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see at the beginning, those two dudes are talking like they're in a Quentin Tarantino movie, or like somebody's trying to copy a Tarantino movie, and then they get killed.
Mm.
And then the whole movie is Billy wanting the movie to be a Quentin Tarantino movie.
That actually makes a lot more sense. Because like, I'm not a big movie buff, so I couldn't tell you exactly a Quentin Tarantino movie I've seen. But
Pulp Fiction? Django?
I've seen those. So there we go, yeah.
Yeah, and so it was kind of a play, because, I mean, the early 2000s were kind of plagued by movie writers, screenwriters trying to rip off Quentin Tarantino with, like, we're cool gangsters, listen to all our cool, snappy dialogue, because we're cool gangsters.
Well, they are cool gangsters.
I think they were okay. Which character was your favorite, Tyler?
I think Christopher Walken's character.
What, you like Hans?
Hans, yeah, that's his name. I wrote down almost everyone else's name except for his. Yeah, I thought he was good.
What about you, Antone?
I'd probably say I like Billy the most.
Yeah, my guy.
It's probably maybe a little bit more influenced just by the actor himself, Sam Rockwell. I'm a really big fan of him. He has some really great roles, if you haven't seen much by him. But I just like his almost, I want to call it optimism, in his friend Marty, the screenwriter. He's just really trying his best to be that best friend that, you know, the one that you look back on and be like, you know, he was a big influence on my life. And he was just trying so hard that entire time. And I kind of admire him for his tenacity, I guess, in that nature. But so that's why I'd probably choose him.
See, I'm in the same camp, too. I wish everybody needs a friend like Billy.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I'm just saying. I admire him for it, at least.
Well, yeah, not like everyone should have a crazy person who's your best friend that kills people so you have some inspiration. I mean more like
Billy really cares about Marty and really believes it. Like he said, he's like in his diary, you know, he's like he's the greatest writer of his generation. He just doesn't know it yet. I actually loved his diary entry when he's like, "Don't burn down
his flag."
Yeah. I watched it from sunup to sundown. 11 hours. Everyone has a right to fly a flag. Note to self, don't burn neighbor's flag.
Half burned.
It just looks up and it's burned.
7 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's 11 hours. It's a long time.
He's not even right. It was like, that's not 11 hours. I love that. Even in the end, he's like, I'm going to give Marty the best screenplay movie ever, and we're going to live it out. And he's like, this movie's ending my way. I like the foreshadowing when he kept saying that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This movie ends my way.
There was a lot of foreshadowing. The whole, like, this would be a great place for a final shootout.
Oh, yeah. Well, I like that Marty was a really good friend, too. Even after he realized Billy was crazy, and, like, he killed a woman and all that other stuff. And he still was like, I can't do this. But he wasn't mean. He didn't freak out. And, like, he did hit him that one time. And I like how their response is, if you're going to stop drinking, Martin, and this, I mean, if this is how you're going to act when you stop drinking, maybe you should reconsider it. I thought that was really funny.
I think that kind of touches on how great the dialogue is in this movie. Like, it's just, and I watched some interviews with Martin McDonough. And he's like, the dialogue, he really wanted to capture the whole, like, natural. Something that would sound like it's being said, not scripted, you know? Oh, I think they did a pretty good job with that.
I really liked whatchamacallit, too. I just thought about the character. Woody Harrelson's character was really good with the girl who played Precious, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm not gonna... Because I didn't bring it because you were just gonna drink me here and shoot me. And he goes, yeah, all right. Like, that was pretty good. A little fun fact, speaking of the mobster, the dog Bonnie was also named Bonnie in real life. And it was a coincidence. Bonnie was the name in the script, and then the dog's name was Bonnie, and it just happened to work out.
That's interesting.
I love this movie a lot. It's such a cleverly written movie. It's just like In Bruges. Like, I really like it a lot. I love how he's like, you know, because in movies, you can kill women, just not animals. And no animals were killed. But... Mm-hmm. But there was women that got killed.
I also like, speaking of women, how they touch on it in the movie when Hans is reading the, what is it, the script? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, screenplay. The script. Screenplay. He's like, you have pitiful female characters. Like, they don't say anything. They don't do anything. Like, yeah, just like the movie.
Right?
They don't really do anything. One gets called a bitch, and the other gets shot.
I love Billy, too, because it's not really her fault she's a bitch, probably.
Probably.
What did you guys think about each individual psychopath? Did you like those stories?
Yeah, I think the Vietnamese guy was probably my favorite.
Yeah, those were really... I thought they were really creative.
Yeah.
I would say that he probably went through the most character growth.
The Vietnamese guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was kind of a real piece of shit to begin with.
Dream sequences are homosexuals.
oh yeah. I think they like to be called homosexuals now. This movie couldn't have gotten made today. Like, all of the language wouldn't have worked.
Yeah. It was honestly a fun... It made me want to watch his other two, In Bruges and Three Billboards...
I have not seen it, Three Billboards. I really want to, because I'm with Anton. Sam Rockwell's one of my favorite actors.
Mm.
I think he's super underrated.
Is he in Bruges?
He's not in Bruges, but Colin Farrell is.
But he's also... Sam Rockwell is in Three Billboards outside of Edding, Missouri.
I know he is, and so is... what's that guy? The mob boss.
Woody Harrelson?
Woody Harrelson's in that. And I think his, like, second in command I think he's in the Three Billboards as well, or he's just in Bruges. It's either both or just in Bruges. But he uses the same actors.
Mm-hmm.
Which I dig a lot that he does that. I really like when, like, Christopher Nolan and Quentin Tarantino, where they use the same actors over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good way to establish just really, once you find somebody you can rely on, you know?
Yeah. And it just makes it feel, like, familiar. For me, at least. I feel more connected to that character. Because I'm like, oh, I liked them.
Oh, yeah. Did you guys like Tom Waits' character? Zachariah.
Oh, yeah.
I like the end, though, when he calls him back and he's like, oh, you sound different. And the whole time Marty's talking, I had to turn up the volume because he gets so damn soft. But the whole fact that he just reconsiders his life just based on that conversation was real interesting.
He's been through some shit, man.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of foreshadowing, because I watched it with my cousin, and it had been a while, I forgot that ending scene even took place. But he's like, you swear on your life? And I was like, I don't know, Austin. If I was dealing with a guy who just told me that story and was carrying around a white rabbit, I would not promise on my life at all. Ever.
Agreed.
And I like that he called him back on it. Tom Waits is a really cool dude. He also sings. He's a blues singer as well. He's got that old raspy voice, you know?
Yes, I do know. I can almost hear the blues when he spoke.
Right. After reading the trivia for this movie, too, but he didn't read anything. Tom Waits didn't read anything. He loves animals so much, they're like, yeah, you gotta have a rabbit. And he goes, oh, I gotta have a rabbit, I'll do it.
That's all a man needs is a white rabbit.
Yeah, it's pretty kind of cool.
He did have a really interesting story, how they would, him and Missy, forgot her name. But they'd kill serial killers.
I was starting to kind of think it was that Hans was Zachariah. Like, before you make the connection of the Amish guy, whose daughter? Yeah, the Quaker. Yeah, that's it. I was thinking it was Zachariah at first, because the whole him and his wife thing had gone and killed the person that killed the daughter. But then once you've kind of realized that it was Hans, I'm like, oh, well, I guess there really is seven psychopaths, not split personalities.
I love the reveal when he, like, takes off his scarf at the hospital, the cravat.
Oh, that was really good.
Yeah.
And he goes, here, you can have it. And just, oh, that scene, that's such a chilling little anecdote, you know? Like, that's such a cool idea the whole time of he's like, and he's like, only people who kill themselves go to hell. And he's like, well, at least I won't be with this damn Quaker. And then, you know what I mean? Like, that's so cool. Like, just on its own.
I really like Woody Harrelson's reaction. He's like, no.
Oh, well, yeah.
I don't want that. Disgusting.
They were really realistic in the dialogue with stuff like that.
They really were, like, I think that was one of my favorite parts. I also liked that every time someone said, huh, or what, whatever was said was, like, repeated verbatim. Because normally, if they're like, I don't know, for instance, if they're like, Hans is dead. What? He died, blah, blah, blah. They just brush over the fact that they just said, what? But this, they'd say, Hans is dead, what? Hans is dead. That was a nice little touch.
That was such a bummer, too.
It was, but, you know, it was his time.
But we did get the famous scene. Put your hands up. No.
I have a gun. So? I don't care.
I do like that he just walked in the desert and didn't die. Like, he just found exactly where to go.
Well, it doesn't appear that they were really too far away from that station, though.
I think he walked and found the road and then walked down the road. That's why they found him in the middle of the road, you know?
Yeah.
But those cops.
Well, no, he came like perpendicular.
Oh, did he?
I think he passed the road and turns around and like sees the road. He's like, oh shit, I was going the wrong direction.
Dig that.
Because he comes up facing not the road, but the visitor center. Then he sees them looking down the road.
Right.
I like seeing Christopher Walken in any type of movie, but especially in the comedy like this. Because I think it plays to his strengths.
Yeah.
Like, when Marty's getting threatened with the gun, and he goes, hey, have a little pride in yourself. Don't tell these people anything.
I don't know who you are. I don't know if you do or do not know where the Shih Tzu is. Have some pride in yourself. I do think they have some of my favorite quotes I've heard in a long time. I think my favorite is Billy when he's like kind of upset, and instead of the seven psychopaths, he's like the seven lesbians who are all disabled and have overcome all their spazzy shit and are really nice to everybody, and two of them are black. That killed me.
I like the other one too, and it's like an eye for an eye makes the world blind. He goes, what? I was a blind guy. You could just go hide in a bush or something.
Hide in a bush.
God, he was an idiot. Just nobody's brave enough to say it.
I also liked the, in a great place. England? Seems a lot worse than that.
Yeah, there was a few, I do like the when he punches Billy and he goes, Martin, this is gonna how you're gonna act if you quit drinking. Maybe you should reconsider, huh? Like they get mad at him after Billy burns the car down and tells the mob boss where they're at.
It's his ending. He deserves it.
I was a little bummed to see him go, but he did kind of kill that lady in a really awful way. Like, I like that he found out that Hans's wife was killed by the mobster, and so he killed her. You know, because he likes his friends so much.
Yeah. Eye for an eye, man.
But I like that he called... Yeah, there's so many things that just connect back into the script. But I like that he calls the ambulance and goes, hey, see, don't say I never did nothing for you.
Yeah.
And then Woody Harrelson's character's like, and he killed my girlfriend, which, admittedly, we're not close, but still.
But still.
Man, I might go watch that movie again.
You think that flare gun had anything in it?
Yeah.
Probably not.
He shot a flare. Oh, you're talking about the second time when he talks about the reload?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't
he
think
talks
so.
Talks about when he has it up to Bonnie's head.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think so.
I love Woody Harrelson's reaction anytime the dog's like, can you please not talk about my dog and dead in the same sentence?
In the same sentence.
I'm having a hard time coping, man. He's like, are you kidding me? Like, get your shit together. And at the end, he's like, I don't give a shit about your dog, okay? Like, I don't care. And I'm like, oh.
It's a big fucking deal.
I do like that Bonnie shook his hand, shook Billy's hand at the end.
I like that Marty has Bonnie.
Me?
He kept the dog.
He kept the neighbor kept the burnt flag, too, though.
It's true.
Sentimental flag value on flag. Everything.
I do have a question. At the end, when Marty is carrying the script... screenwrite, whatever you want to call it, all the papers. Is he just walking into the city to deliver it?
Probably.
Isn't his hands going to get sweaty? And then the paper sweaty? And
probably in that LA heat, yeah.
It's not something I thought of.
Use waterproof paper.
They do think of a lot of things in this show, though.
They do, but because of that, I'm going to have to give it a 1 out of 10.
Right.
But like, it's not really thick.
When Marty gets covered in blood, and like the next scene he's wearing Billy's jacket, that's why the hoodie on him is so tight.
Yeah. I thought he just got ripped really fast.
Yeah, oh yeah, ba-boom.
He's got yoked.
I'm sorry, Marty, you're an alcoholic, isn't he, Bonnie? You're a writer and you're Irish. You fucked.
You're fucked.
Will you shut up? Yeah.
Fucked from birth.
Oh, man.
So, outside of the characters... I do want to point out that I think this movie does a great job, and apparently from what I hear, in Bruges does a very good job of this as well. I don't think it happens as often, but it really lets you sit in these like emotional moments, these dramatic moments, and I think it also flows, like it's not cheapened by the comedy. the emotional moments aren't robbed of that because there's comedy like right afterwards or during it. I think it really handled the whole drama comedy mix really well.
And it felt kind of like real life that way, you know what I mean? Where the tone felt right.
Yeah, it like flowed. It wasn't so like peak and valley of maybe you'd see on like a sitcom or like a TV show that isn't as good.
Yeah.
I would definitely recommend In Bruges over this one, though.
Oh, how come?
I really liked the whole the comedic aspect in Bruges, whereas this one, to me, it didn't really pique my interest. I mean, everything about Seven Psychopaths was really well written and well acted, directed, all of it. But for some reason, it was a hard time for me to really get into this one. But In Bruges, I think, was going on all cylinders.
I do like In Bruges a lot, and I really like Brendan Gleeson in it.
Is that Mad-Eye Moody?
Yeah.
And Ralph Fiennes is in it, too.
Oh, yeah. As the politician. I really like that. I wish this dude would do more stuff.
Yeah, he only has 3 movies.
Yeah, it's wild that this was like what he came, or I guess In Bruges came first, but it's wild that In Bruges was like out the gate.
Yeah, from what I hear, and kind of from what I hear from you two as well, it's a great film.
I am a big fan. I think it's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only bad thing I've heard about it is that the trailers for it were shit because the studio didn't know how to market for this kind of movie.
Yeah, how do you?
I don't know. I don't know if any of us have seen the 3 Billboards movie, so I don't know if that has any comedy in it. I don't think so.
I've seen the 3 Billboards movie, yeah.
Oh, does it have any comedy in it?
No, that one's actually pretty dang serious.
Very serious?
There are some, like, comedy, like, aspects to it, like, here and there, but compared to In Bruges and this one, very minimal.
Hmm.
I mean, at least to me, maybe I just didn't think it was that funny.
Yeah.
I think In Bruges is pretty good, like a lot. I think, I mean, like funny-wise, I think it's very funny. But you have to have kind of that darker, like black sense of humor, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of... there's a scene in Bruges when he's like, can we get going? He goes, no, look, they're filming a movie with midgets. There's midgets here. I'm not going anywhere. Like, I'm going to watch this.
And he befriends the midget, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, he does. Colin Farrell's character in Bruges is really funny.
I think my whole favorite thing of In Bruges is when the American tourists come to Bruges and try to go up the church tower.
Oh, yeah. Like,
what do you mean you're going up there? You're a bunch of fucking elephants.
Plus accents make everything funnier. 100%.
I think that's the first time I've heard Colin Farrell with his, like, real accent.
Yeah, because he is from Ireland.
Yeah. I honestly don't remember. I know he's in one of the Harry Potter-esque movies.
He's in the new ones. The he played in the first, first Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, yeah, as Johnny Depp's fake character.
Yeah. Graves.
I'm not a fan. I
of the movie
of Harry Potter's thing in general.
Oh, I thought it was fine. I do think they should do a like an American one.
Fantastic Beasts, you mean?
No, because that's not really Harry Potter, is it? I want the American school, not just it's magic in America. Which I live magic in America every day of my life. I think that'd be cool. Just, like, expand more.
I think it'd be cool, but it'd be a little bit too repetitious.
How? Make a different story.
I mean, you made six books off of the school in England. People want something that's not related to school after that.
So, go to a school in England, and then go to a school almost anywhere in America and show me how different they are.
Okay, now, I'm not arguing the differences, but I'm just saying a different genre. like, or storyline in general, not candy. Something. Well, not necessarily centered around school is what I'm getting at. You get a school setting. You know, there's worlds outside of being a school.
Yeah, but I want to see. Everyone wants to see, but you and maybe Trey.
I can literally go the rest of my life with no Harry Potter interaction and do just fine.
Look, I'm not trying to say I'm the biggest, like, Harry Potter head, because I'm not.
Then stop pretending you are.
But I just think a movie based on the school in America, because what I've heard, and I couldn't tell you right now because I forgot, I just remember it's cool. From what I heard and remember hearing, the school in America is, like, pretty cool.
Okay, well, I'll give you...
I don't care about stinky Europe schools anymore. They smell bad.
Okay, well, if they were to have a movie that happens to go to the American Wizard School, yeah, then sure. But to have it, like, focused around the school itself, I don't think would be a smart choice.
What about if it was a movie about how the school got set up?
That's a different approach than that we have seen
centered
so far.
The school.
Okay, but it's still it's a unique approach. Is that's kind of what I'm getting at. Doing a Harry Potter school, like with it already being founded, is something that has already been done.
What if in America there's a Dark Lord?
Okay.
Who fails to kill a child. The child then needs bifocals, has a scar in the shape of a Glock on his forehead. Oh my lord. And it basically just guns akimbo.
I will tell you this.
Oh god.
I'd watch that.
I wouldn't.
Are you kidding me? Guns akimbo? In Harry Potter world, except it's wands instead of guns.
Listen, why didn't Voldemort just have a gun? Why didn't he just throw the baby out the window? If he would have been, like, a little bit smarter, like, even, why did he have to kill Harry with magic? That's so dumb.
Because magic is still magic.
Like, he's a baby.
I feel like you can say that argument and the whole argument of, like, why didn't the Eagles just fly them to fucking Mordor?
Because
it's, like, the biggest arguments that those fandoms have to deal with. Because it's true. Oh, they're a proud race. Oh, humble yourself for a second. Grow a pair.
The Eagles are not a taxi service.
Look at the bigger picture. It's not a taxi service. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
There's also
never
another
ask
reason.
You again.
Yeah, but there's also another reason they can't go
I
in.
Don't like Mordor. It's spooksome.
No, Mordor's got a bunch of, like, anti-flying shit.
They just have a bunch of barbed wire hanging in the sky.
It's a list of stuff.
Fly higher.
They have flak cannons.
Use your They have AA guns.
Goodness.
Manned by real Marines.
There's an in-lore reason why they can't go. What's the in-lore reason that Voldemort didn't just
he
slap
hates muggle
child?
Shit. He only believes in magic, like Anthem says.
He still walks places. He still picks things up with his bare hands. Just pick up the child with your bare hands and throw him somewhere. Just
barbaric.
Well, we'd only have the ability to make assumptions on it. So, I mean, maybe the spell could easily just defend you against malice intent. I mean, we don't know. We'll never know.
What if he just poked him really hard with his wand?
Take the wand, position it right in his eyeball, and shove.
Did Harry still had a soft head at that point?
He was the only.
No, I think, yeah, he was at least a year.
Oh, I don't know,
I'm
baby.
I'm pretty sure one-year-olds have soft spots, though.
Baby skull anatomy.
Jamie,
look up when babies get hard skulls.
Jesus. I have a deep hatred in my heart for most things Harry Potter.
Oh, I think it's okay. I don't think it's great.
Not a personality.
Nope. I think it's a good one-and-done series.
I really enjoy Harry Potter. I wouldn't say I'm a fanatic.
Fucking nerd.
You have a wand that you bought at the Universal Studios Harry Potter Land?
No comment.
Okay. Anton, you nerd.
You kissed the Queen? You kissed the Union Jack? You fucking Brit? Goddamn lobster?
Lobster?
Get the fuck off my podcast.
Not one I've ever heard is lobster, but I like it.
Alright, anyway. Seven Psychopaths. It was a good movie. I liked it. I did try to pay attention to like camera work and the soundtrack. The music, I don't think... and honestly, I think I'm going to lump the cinematography into this as well. I don't think it was, like, crazy exceptional, like, oh my god, did you see that? Like I felt with Knives Out.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good. I have no complaints whatsoever.
I'm with you in the thought process that the writing is the strong part, strong point.
Yes, and it's so strong, in my opinion.
Good.
Really good.
Yeah. Score-wise?
I think I'm going to give it a 9.
A 9?
Yeah, wow. I really enjoyed it. Like, I think I've told 3 other people about it, and I said that they should watch it.
Cool. They should. It's really... It's just a fun sit-down movie.
It is, yeah. And it's it's just fun. Even though it's dark, still fun.
It's the right type of dark humor, I think.
Yeah.
It's not edgy. It's realistic.
What about your scores?
I'd probably give it a 6. It was enjoyable. It was definitely worth the watch, but it's not something I'm ever planning on going back to.
I feel like you gave The Dark Crystal higher than 7 Psychopaths. If we could go back, I think that's
it. It was like Dark Crystal, probably an 8.
Okay, well, now if we're comparing it to the series, now that's a different story.
I'd rather watch embarrassing home videos of myself than the series of The Dark Crystal.
That's super specific.
Also, something I really don't want to go back to.
What about you, Trey?
I'm with Tyler. I'm giving it like a 9.
No, giving us an exact number, not like.
9.
Oh, perfect. Good score.
It's ticking my boxes. And just with writing that sharp and focused, I don't know how you... I don't think I could ever do it any less.
That's fair. Well, Anton, looks like you need to change your opinion.
Well,
you're in the minority.
Okay.
So therefore...
Well, I'll just say maybe if it was directed by Quentin Tarantino, I would like it more.
That's blasphemy.
I mean, it ain't no The Man with the Iron Fists, but...
I love that movie.
Oh, Man with the Iron Fists is hilarious.
You don't like RZA? No, you don't like RZA, Tyler?
I've never seen it, but I know it's kind of like a silly movie.
It's an homage to goofy kung fu flicks.
Yeah, silly movie. RZA has giant iron fists and fights people.
Yeah.
And he controls metal with his chi.
Oh, his cheese, yes. Cheddar. Project cheese?
Like the dog, Cheddar.
Cheddar like the deputy.
We should watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine for these podcasts.
Ugh, kill me, dude.
Why?
Not that I don't like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but like, how do you even review that?
It would be hard.
That's true, because yeah. I mean, I would very much like to review Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but I do not know
hell
how we
yeah.
would.
Hell yeah!
I don't know. I don't know how we would do it, really, though.
It would just be 30 minutes of people saying quotes.
Pretty much. I think so.
I feel like you're trying to jam us up, pal, and I don't appreciate that.
I wouldn't do that to you!
You're going with my burrito!
Yeah, everyone, right. Go watch 7 Psychopaths for a second time.
Do it.
Yeah, don't just stop at one.
Watch it twice. You'll find something new each time.
You have to watch it one time per psychopath.
Wow, yeah. Yes.
You get a lot out of that.
I always thought growing up, because I never saw the movies, I just heard the names, and I never really saw the posters, but I thought 7 Psychopaths was similar to like 7 Monkeys. Whatever that movie is.
I was thinking like Seven Samurai or something.
Bruce Willis is in that movie, Tyler, but I don't think it's... I think it's 13 Monkeys.
13 Monkeys. I could never remember. It's just like... It's a number and a noun.
Yeah.
I was like, huh, these are weird movies. Even though I never watched them. I was a foolish child.
Okay. What's next on the docket, though? Umbrella Academy?
Yeah.
Hey, Anton, what's next?
Next is Umbrella Academy. That is a Netflix original series. We, of course, are going to be starting out with season 1. May eventually get to season 2 eventually. And if you have a Netflix subscription, obviously go and watch that for this next episode. There's only 10 episodes, but they are about 45 minutes long, 45 to an hour. So it will take you 10 hours to complete. So go ahead and watch those. Again, available on Netflix.
And in the spirit of spooky month, there are some slightly Scary themes of Umbrella Academy. So, enjoy with candy or something. I don't know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
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 Halloween time. Spooky. End of the world. Apocalypse is terrifying.
Spooky, scary skeleton.
Send shivers down my spine, bitch.
Is that how the song goes?
Yeah. Well, except send shivers down your spine.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Is the profanity in there as well?
Bitch. I love you, bitch. Oh. Never gonna stop loving you.
Bitch.
Aw, oh, bitch.
Aw, oh, bitch. I said, bitch.
Yeah, Cthulhu.
Right.
Cthulhu tells me that he needs some attention.
Alrighty.
I'm telling you, Cthulhu, shut the hell up.
Yeah, I fucking wish.
Alright, so don't forget to also follow us on all of our social medias. You can find links to those at anchor.fm/continuewatching. That includes Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and maybe some more. I can't remember exactly. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/continuewatching. So go ahead and follow us on all of our social medias, tweet at us, and shout out to us, because we would like to hear your opinion and how it is inferior to ours and all that jazz.
Fuck, stupid.
Yeah. All right, so remember to get watching, and thanks for tuning in. Bye.
Sayonara.